Hello and welcome back to Biff Pal Bam. As always, I'm your host Paul, and I'm luckily being joined tonight by one of my best friends, one of my cohorts, my co-hosts, Mr. Tony Bufton.
Evening.
So, I know the last episode we said we were going to round up the Netflix shows. I have to apologise, I've not finished watching Jessica Jones yet. We've been watching it over about the last, 3 weeks since it came out, and I just haven't had time to get through it all. To be honest, as some of you may know, I'm currently studying to be an accounts technician / accountant at some point, and that's taken a bit of my time out, so I haven't managed to watch it. But it happens to have coincided with the fact that we had San Diego Comic Con at the weekend.
How fortunate was that?
Yeah, it's kind of covered my, saved my bacon a little bit.
bacon.
So it has worked out quite well, and there is quite a bit to cover. So I thought we'd start with the smaller stuff. DC had a little bit of an influence over this event. Not massive. Warner Brothers weren't there as a studio this time. But the TV side of it was there, and there was a few little announcements here and there. Nothing massive, I don't think. Nothing that would blow people's minds. But I thought we'd cover them a little bit here. At the top of things, let's talk about the Arrowverse stuff to start with. And there was a few little bits. I think the massive things was probably. And I'll go on to the really big thing, but there was a massive thing outside of the crossover that we'll talk about first, and that was the change of some of the costumes for the new seasons. First of all, Stephen Amell's got a new costume as Green Arrow. Very much more comic book like, I thought.
I've not actually seen it yet, so I'm going to have a look whilst we're chatting.
Yeah, so it's got more of a kind of the V-shaped collar on it that he tends to wear in the comics. Obviously, he's strayed away from having the twirly beard. He kind of went down that route for a little while, but it didn't really work, so he got rid of it again. But yeah, very much more comic book based, I felt, for his final season. And he wasn't the only one that has a costume change. Kara as well is getting a new costume.
That one was very caught people out, didn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Wasn't expecting a complete jumpsuit.
Yeah, so she's losing the skirt. For me, it kind of loses something. I felt that she had her own identity. Now she kind of just looks like Superman with boobs to me. Which
it's very much a practical suit, isn't it? They've given her.
Yeah.
I've had this chat on a couple of Facebook pages. As a cosplayer and crossplayer, my first reaction was, yeah, I prefer the skirt and tights.
Yeah.
But they've gone with a practical look, haven't they?
Yeah,
for it, I think.
She just loses some of her own identity, I think. Which is a shame, really.
Yeah, neutrals are a bit, doesn't it? And I think, and
yeah.
All, maybe that's the intention. So
yeah, and so I think we move straight on to the really massive announcement.
I'll just have a quick look
Crisis.
At the Arrow one, actually. Yeah,
that's
quite sleek, the new Arrow one.
Yeah. So the Crisis on Infinite Earths that we're getting later on this year.
Yeah.
The massive crossover, which is the end of Arrow. As far as we know, we think that's when it comes to an end. Throughout that crossover, we've got, how many nights was it? Is it five?
It's over five nights, isn't it?
Yep, over Arrow, Supergirl, Flash, Legends and Batwoman.
Yeah.
Which weirdly, Batwoman didn't have a massive presence. They did have a panel, but, she couldn't actually make it. She was filming, and they said it was such a big scene that she couldn't get away for the weekend.
Wow.
So she was the only one that wasn't there, out of all the leads.
Must be big when they couldn't send their own lead over. So, yeah.
So there is a little bit of news from Batwoman regarding the crossover. And is that, and that's that, of our own Boy Wonder, our original Boy Wonder, Burt Ward, will be making, a cameo.
Oh, that's been confirmed. It's in that show. Is that part of it?
It's been said that it's in Batwoman, so I'm assuming it's going to be the Batwoman crossover episode.
Yeah.
Because it was first mentioned that it was in the crossover, and then it came out that it was in Batwoman, so I'm assuming that means it's in the crossover Batwoman episode.
So I assume he's going to be playing Old Man Dick?
I assumed, but I kind of thought, what if he's playing Alfred?
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Because that wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
Hmm.
Which I think would be really good. But we don't know yet. They've not confirmed that. But the really, really big story for Crisis is the return of Brandon Routh as Superman.
Yes, nobody saw that coming, did they?
No. He played Superman in Superman Returns, 15 years ago?
Yes, something like that would be, yeah, I think.
Which is just amazing to think that it was that long ago. I met him back then.
Mm, likewise, that was in Milton Keynes, or
yes,
was it?
Yes, it was, back in the old shopping centre.
Wow.
And has, of course, been playing the Atom in the Arrowverse for 6 years now?
Yeah.
It's
going to be interesting whether that dual role is going to be addressed in a throwaway line or something. In the crossover, one would assume so.
Yeah. But not only is he playing Superman again, he's playing Kingdom Come Superman, so an older version. He even appeared on stage wearing a t-shirt with the Kingdom Come logo on it, the Superman S in its new guys. And it kind of explains why he's grown his hair. I've always wondered, because it didn't really suit Ray, I didn't think.
Or maybe they've got plans for Ray not to be in the crossover much.
I don't know. It could well be that he's in one episode, like the Supergirl episode as Superman, and then possibly he turns up as Ray in the Legends episode.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they've not confirmed how it's going to work yet. There's not really been much official news about it, to be honest.
No.
Other than the fact that they announced it in the panel. Which is a shame. I'd quite like to know a little bit more about it. But I'm sure that will come once that, obviously we're not in the current seasons at the moment. They've not started. So we don't know where those storylines are going to come in at the moment. But I'm looking forward to it. I love these kind of shows where they do things like that, where you have one character playing different roles and things like that. So it's going to be really good fun, I think.
There's, in a similar kind of note, there's the intimation that they're going to go back to smaller crossovers, aren't they, going forward, by the looks of it?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way. Once you kind of lose that anchor of Arrow, it's going to be kind of difficult.
And it makes it easier if they're going to bring in Lightning at some point.
Yeah, exactly, which I think will probably happen.
If he's only crossing over one show, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would imagine that's how it's going to end, with him kind of being left with the rest. I know they've not confirmed it yet.
That's
but
my feeling as well, that there might be a cameo from him at some point.
Yeah.
So I need to get up to date with that show, actually. I didn't see the second series yet, so.
No, I haven't either. I have to be honest. So,
bit of catching up to do before October.
Yeah, exactly. And we also, stepping away from the Arrowverse, but staying with DC, we got confirmation that Doom Patrol will be returning for a second season. Which I know you haven't seen the first season yet. I'm nearly towards the end. It hasn't been picked up here in the UK, sadly.
No, very strange. I mean, everybody's assuming that Netflix would just run with it like they did with Titans, but nothing's been announced yet.
And so. I do wonder whether they felt that maybe it wouldn't get picked up again. We know there has been issues at DC Universe over the last few months with the likes of Swamp Thing. Not getting its full run, and then being cancelled before it had even been shown. But yep, Doom Patrol's been renewed, and we got a confirmation of a release date for Titans Season 2, which starts just over a month away. The first episode will launch on the 6th of September. So I'm looking forward to that. I know, Tony, you enjoyed the first season.
Yeah, a very, very different feel to some of the other shows that we've seen. Yeah, really enjoyed that.
And we're getting a lot of, like, the sidekicks from other DC heroes. Like, we're getting Aqualad. We already had Wonder Girl. Deathstroke's being introduced in his family.
It's funny. They kind of, one or two of those, like, if you didn't know they exist, they kind of feel like Family Guy jokes a little bit.
Yeah, kind of like Batmite.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Batmite. Well.
And the introduction, of course, that we've spoken about before of Bruce Wayne, played by Ian Glenn from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's an interesting cast in that.
So we're looking forward to that launch, and I don't know how long we're going to have to wait for it to appear on Netflix. Last time, we had to wait until the whole season had shown in the US.
Yeah, it dropped around January, didn't it, I think, or something like that.
Which is sad, but hopefully it might be a bit quicker this time. So that really covered DC. There wasn't, as I said, the studio wasn't there this time. They're currently, I don't think they're filming anything at the moment.
No, it was very light on the movie side, wasn't it, from them this time?
I don't think DC are actually filming anything at the moment, so... Wonder Woman's wrapped. Shazam 2 hasn't started. Batman hasn't started. I suppose Joker's just about to come out, but Comic-Con doesn't really feel like the kind of place that belongs, really.
No, because a lot of the news had dropped before the comic, a week or so before, didn't it, on that?
Yeah.
Confirmations, it's kind of its own thing a little bit.
Yeah, and it's kind of being shipped out to film festivals rather than the usual places that you'd see a comic book movie. Suicide Squad, I think, isn't filming yet. It's currently Harley Quinn, isn't it? And Birds of Prey.
I think so.
I think that's possibly finished filming as well. That was being filmed here, I believe.
Yeah.
Down at Warner Brothers in Lewisden. Home of the Harry Potter tour. A lot of Warner Brothers films are obviously filmed there, as well as others. I know there was a fire on a set the other day down there, which caused some damage. Hopefully not too much, and that studio will be back up and running again. So I think that covers DC mainly. As I said, there wasn't loads, but another studio kind of saved that. And that was a studio that's been missing from Comic-Con for a little while, concentrating on their own events over the last few years.
Yeah, they didn't go last year, did they?
No, they weren't there at all last year. And that's quite clearly Marvel.
Yes, with about not one, but about five mic drops, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So let's start. We'll go through any of the casting that we know, any of the release dates. So Marvel did a massive panel announcing the whole of Phase 4. Surprisingly short Phase 4. It's only going to cover 2 years. And the first phase not to have an Avengers movie in it.
Which is really weird, isn't it?
Yeah. So let's talk right from the start. They announced a couple of films that we already knew about. We knew that we're already in production. First of all, Black Widow. We knew that was already filming. Photos had leaked from the set. So that's been given a release date of May 1st, 2020. So we're still a good 10 months away. 9, 10 months, just coming up 9 months as we record this. And we got some massive casting news. Obviously, Scarlett Johansson is back as Natasha. We knew that. That had been confirmed a long time ago that she was back. Another fellow Red Room project, Yelena, played by Florence Pugh, who I don't know much about. I've heard other people talk about her, but...
Yeah, I saw her in something. She was also in that wrestling movie a couple of months ago.
Yeah, with The Rock. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fighting with My Family, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. She's, I did see her in something else in the last year or two, but it escapes me what it was. But she's a decent actress, yeah.
Yeah. So we've got another Brit. Me and Tony know him. He was in a couple of episodes of Doctor Who, actually. Oti Fagbeni, by the look of it, that's how you say his name, I think. But yeah, he was in a couple of episodes of Doctor Who back when David Tennant was on the show, I think. So that was a while back. One that I didn't see announced at the actual event, and he wasn't there, and that's our friend Ray Winston. Bet in play, bet with Ray.
yes, no, cause, yeah, because he's been confirmed, hasn't he, that
yeah,
he's in
but
it.
No character name at the moment, so
mm.
That's interesting. Another great British actor, and that's Rachel Weisz. She's in there playing a character called Melina. I'm not sure she's from the comics. I think this is a new character that's been created for this film. And then the big name for everybody, David Harbour, who obviously has been in Stranger Things and was Hellboy in the reboot not long ago.
I did like in the panel that they asked him about jumping at the chance to have another fan base, and it was pretty much a no-brainer.
Yeah, and he is playing an existing comic book character, the Red Guardian, or his real name, Alexei, which is quite appropriate considering he spent a huge amount of time in season 3 of Stranger Things with a character called Alexei. So it's
may
quite appropriate.
And may or may not be at the end of it in Russia.
So yeah, that's kind of it for Black Widow. We now have confirmation that the villain is Taskmaster.
Yes, that was a bit left field.
Yeah.
And a character, of course, I knew nothing about until the game came out last year.
Yeah.
Because he was one of the ongoing side missions.
Yeah.
Where he has Peter running around the city trying to sort of web bombs and stuff like that. It's a really interesting character, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious to see how he shapes up in this film.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm wondering whether it might possibly be that Ray Winston's playing him.
Mm.
So we shall see with that. But yeah, so that's pretty much all of Black Widow. So moving on to the next installment. And this is our first move into TV. For those of you that don't know, there is a new streaming service that Disney are producing called Disney Plus.
Well, we skipped a movie release, actually, though. Well yeah, because Eternals is at the end of 2020.
Yeah, well, the first TV show is before that.
Oh, of course it is, yeah. I'm reading across the top of the thing, that's right. Falcon slots in just below, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's right.
So,
yeah, my apologies.
We've got this streaming service coming, Disney Plus, which Disney and Marvel are going to fold some of Phase 4 into. For the first time, Marvel is producing TV via the studios rather than the television branch. So the first one coming fall 2020, we've not got a release date for this yet. But that is The Falcon and Winter Soldier. For anybody out there looking, there is a logo out there that you can find. And spoilers for Endgame, it does include Captain America's shield in that logo. Despite the name not pointing towards Falcon becoming Cap, I think we are going to see him in some guise as Cap.
Yeah.
At some point during that series. Confirmation on the villain as well is the return of Daniel Bruhl as Baron Zemo.
Yeah.
And
I mean, we assume that he escapes from federal custody, doesn't he, at some point?
Yeah,
well,
I assume he's going to have been on the raft, isn't he, at some point?
Yeah.
So, and there is confirmation he will be wearing a comic book accurate costume
mm.
in this one. I do wonder whether we're going to see anybody else from the past. Maybe a cameo from Toby Jones or someone like that would be great.
Well, I was going to say something. I'd quite like to see Freeman pop up in one of these somewhere.
Yeah, it's a cameo. Surprise that he's not appeared throughout all of this. It is a little bit strange, but...
Kind of make him the next Coulson, I would, in some ways.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Have him pop him up everywhere.
Yeah, so that's strange. But yeah, that's about all we know about that first TV series. But hopefully we'll learn a bit more once the streaming service launches in November. In fact, we'll probably know a little bit more in less than a month's time with D23 Expo just around the corner
as
well.
Of course, yeah.
But hopefully we might find out a little bit about Phase 5, but we'll go into that at the end.
Yeah.
So the next film, as Tony mentioned earlier, Eternals. Again, that had been rumoured for a long time that it was in pre-production. I can also confirm, and I did this little thing on Disaster Dark the other day, can confirm that, little tidbit, my wife is supplying materials for this film. So I knew about it about 2 months ago. The name was a little bit strange. They don't actually plug anything, buy anything under the name Marvel or Disney. It's all under a different production name.
That's brilliant.
And do you know how I worked it out? The production company was Hercules. And I was like, there's no way they're going to be ordering something under that name for a live-action Hercules remake. It was too obvious. And then I went, the rumour is that Hercules is going to be in Eternals. And I worked it back from that. So, yeah, we know about that and kind of guessed we'd heard rumours that Angelina Jolie was going to be one of the stars. My wife had been working with a production company on Maleficent as well. And once they gave us the same address, we were kind of like, oh, I wonder whether that's for Angelina Jolie. So yes, we believe she will be wearing my wife's materials again.
That's awesome.
In this film. So as I said, she has been confirmed. She's playing Athena. Richard Madden from Game of Thrones is playing Icarus. So another little link there to Hercules. Now, I'd not heard of this guy until recently, and I caught him in an episode of the new Twilight Zone. And that's Kumail Nanjiani. He was very good in... why is it completely just... I've just said it. Twilight Zone. he was very good in that. So I'm looking forward to seeing his performance in that. Fingers crossed. He's as good as he was in Twilight Zone. Another big name, which there'd been little hints at that maybe she was possibly in it, but nothing really concrete. And that's Salma Hayek. Is making
yes.
an appearance in Eternals. So she's playing Ajak. I don't know any of these characters. I've never read the comic book, so this is all completely new. Kind of in the same way that Guardians of the Galaxy was for a lot of people. I didn't really know a lot about them. Brian Tyree Henry.
Who I think was in Walking Dead, wasn't he?
Yes. But was also in Into the Spider-Verse. Playing Miles' stepdad, I believe. So there's another link, and we'll talk about someone else that was in Spider-Verse later on. Dong Siuk Ma, who I don't know anything about, and the rest of them I don't really know anything about. He's playing Gilgamesh. We've got Leah McHugh, who's playing Sprite, who I believe that role was originally offered to Millie Bobby Brown. But she wasn't available because she's filming this new Sherlock film with Henry Cavill at the moment. So she wasn't available, sadly. And she kind of had denied that anyway, that she was going to be in it. She did a a live Q&A on Instagram not long ago saying that she knew nothing about it. So sad, because she really is an up and coming actress that we obviously enjoy watching in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
So the final cast member, and that's Lauren Ridloff. She's playing Makari. She's actually going to be the first deaf superhero in the MCU.
Yeah, it was a wonderful little moment on stage with her, that.
Yeah. So really looking forward to something new that we've not seen before. It's really interesting. Kind of, as we said, going down the Guardians of the Galaxy route, choosing a team of superheroes that most people won't know.
Yeah.
And I think they've kind of filled that slot. And we'll talk about Guardians of the Galaxy as we get to the end. Kind of filling that slot of them not being in this phase.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, which I think everybody was expecting in there at the back end, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. So the next film is, again, another character I don't know a lot about.
Likewise. Similar
to what you said with Taskmaster, the only thing I know about him is from video games.
Mm. Oh, so he has appeared in gaming in
yeah,
in the
he's
past.
In some of those mobile games that Marvel have produced over the years. So he is in there, and I believe he is a member of the Young Avengers at times. So this was a big surprise. Pretty much the whole cast is fairly unknown.
Yeah.
Certainly in Hollywood. So playing Shang-Chi himself, is Simu Liu, who was cast just last Tuesday.
That's it, yes, I can believe that.
And turned up at Comic-Con on the Saturday.
Yeah.
Amazing. So yeah, he said he'd done his screen test on the Sunday, they offered it to him on the Tuesday, and he flew to San Diego on the Saturday.
That's amazing, isn't it?
He has worked a little bit in Hollywood, nothing massive, but he has been around, unlike the next guy who is playing a villain that we already know. But haven't actually seen. And that's Tony Chu, and he's playing the Mandarin.
Yes.
So we got the full title of the film. It's Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings. So we've already seen the Ten Rings, mentioned multiple times, and was the basis of Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
When we met the fake Mandarin.
They did show a couple of Easter eggs, didn't they? There's one in Ant-Man. On the wrist, isn't he? He's a tattoo on the wrist.
Yes. Yeah. And even in the first Iron Man, we see the Ten Rings logo on the wall in the cave. Yeah. Yeah. And the final cast member for this is Akinfenwa, who I've heard of, but can't say I've seen her in anything. I think she's possibly known for other things. Rather than being an actress, I think she's possibly been in a few things. She was in Crazy Rich Asians, which was
it
was a massive hit in the last year or so. With Harry Shum, I believe, from Glee, was in that as well. So again, we really don't know a lot about any of these films at the moment. We know no plot lines. And again, as we've said, there's some films that we just don't know much about the characters at all. And I think we're looking forward to learning about these characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, the next one, we move back to Disney Plus. And again, it was a show that had already been announced. But we know a little bit more about it again. And that is WandaVision. Which I think we can all agree is possibly the worst name for a TV series ever. It just makes me think of Chucklevision. So we've got confirmation again that Elizabeth Olsen will be returning as Wanda. And we'll learn a little bit more about her, and I think we'll see a bit more of her powers. We've only seen bits and pieces of her powers previously. And also returning, and we don't know how, he refused to say, it's Paul Bettany's Vision. who I love, and he doesn't seem to change. He seems exactly the same as he did 20 years ago when I saw him in Wimbledon.
Very down to earth as well, and very so.
And the last bit of announcement for that is Teyona Paris, who will be playing another character that we know, but was in a different form the last time we saw her, and that is Monica Rambeau from Captain Marvel, her best friend from when she was younger. Yeah. So that's going to be really interesting to see how she folds into this.
Yeah.
Because really out of left field as to her being in this.
And because the other thing that came out of this announcement was that it actually feeds into the next movie, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So the next movie is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Multiverse of Madness?
Yeah. Which will co-star Elizabeth Olsen. Very much comic books. Wanda spent a lot of time with Steven over the years. Due to sharing similar powers. Changing reality and things like that. So it's not much of a surprise that they want her to sit alongside him at some point. I think the big thing from this though was the confirmation that this is going to be Marvel's first horror movie.
Yeah, so how that's going to fit, does that mean it's going to be a very tight 12A in the, or is it going to be 15, which is, is it going to be kind of, I wonder, soft horror in the vein of the Hammer Woman in Black remake of a couple of years back, or?
And we,
it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and we know Fox tried to go down that route with the X-Men, with the upcoming, as far as we're aware, New Mutants was meant to be a horror movie. What's happening with that? We don't know. It wasn't spoken about. I still get the feeling it'll just end up coming out on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And it won't see the light of day.
Of course, the other key thing out of that is the very word multiverse. Which to me sort of is an indication of them setting out the stall for Phase 5 in some ways, perhaps.
Yeah.
And who we might see in Phase 5.
Yep, definitely. And weirdly, we get to this point and not quite there yet, because we've got another TV series to start. But there is an outstanding slot in the schedule after Doctor Strange, which wasn't talked about. And I'll go into that in a little bit with the multiverse mention, because we have got another TV series to go on to first. So spring 2021, I think this was the first thing that leaked about Disney Plus regarding Marvel, and that's Loki. I think we can all agree that despite the fact his story kind of being done as it was, to have him back in the MCU, I think nobody can argue about it that he's been kind of the breakout star.
Yeah. And of course the big confirmation out of it was, as everybody suspected, it's the version of him that disappears. Spoilers.
Yeah.
In Endgame.
Yeah. Yeah. So the one with the Tesseract. And we're going to see him bounce around history. which should be.
It's going to be really interesting.
Great fun. And I think the reason why he's so late in the game with this phase is that he's actually on Broadway at the moment, for an extended run that he announced not too long ago, in fact. So it's kind of taken him out for a little while.
I suspect it strikes me as it'll probably be a little bit more standalone than the other two shows previously announced.
Yeah, I think so. I can't see them linking in anywhere else. And that's a strange thing, because there hasn't been any mention of Falcon and Winter Soldier appearing anywhere else at the moment. So whether they pop up somewhere else along the lines, we don't know at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, Loki seems to be the one that kind of doesn't tie into anything else. So sticking with TV as well, straight on before we go on to that empty slot. Summer 2021, we have the animated What If series, which was announced a good couple of months ago, I think.
Yeah.
But what we did get was an announcement that a massive amount of original cast members are coming back.
There's a lot of photos on the screen, weren't there?
Yeah, there was at least 30 cast members returning.
Yeah.
All previous characters. So the likes of Michael Rooker, and Taserface is coming back, which I thought was great that they included him on a huge, great big list of massive Hollywood stars. And there's Taserface right at the end. All the way through to Tom Hiddleston, Hayley Atwell, all the way up to main cast like Chris Hemsworth, Jeremy Renner. They're all coming back, which is great to see. The only one that surprised me that wasn't on that list, and someone did mention another one to me the other day, and that was Robert Downey Jr. wasn't on there. I don't think they really need to tell an Iron Man what if, because I don't really think there is anything you can do.
No.
If that didn't happen, it didn't happen. And yeah. There wasn't really anything else you could do. Whereas some of the others, you can quite clearly see that something else could happen. What if Loki became king of Asgard?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
things
absolutely.
Like that. And the one that I was surprised was missing was Chris Evans. Considering the first story that we do know is happening is the story of Peggy Carter taking the soldier serum rather than him. So it really surprised me that he wasn't there, and whether he does just pop back in and do a tiny little cameo, I don't
possibly.
Know. Because the rest seem like they're going to be leads in their separate episodes. So that was a shame that he wasn't there, but fingers crossed that something can happen. So sticking into the same time period, we do have another release scheduled for the summer of 2021, which you pointed out at the time, Tony, and I hadn't noticed it. But it seems strange, and I've mentioned this, that I think they're going to have to pump these films out as quickly as they can if they want to tell the stories that they're saying they're going to tell, and that's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I think we will get Spider-Man 3 that summer.
Well, I mean, on that 2-year base gap between the last two, you'd assume it's going to be in there.
Yeah.
And whether it's going to be Sony that confirm it, I don't know. So,
yeah, I would imagine it's going to have to be Sony that confirm it, because it's their release.
Hmm.
So.
And one assumes with this schedule as it is, it's going to be a little bit more standalone in some ways anyway.
Yeah, with there being no Avengers movies, it doesn't really need to tie into anything else.
No, no.
And as you mentioned there, with the multiverse of madness being mentioned in Doctor Strange, I do wonder whether that will be where we go with Spider-Man. I know they tried to get Donald Glover into the second one and it didn't work. They couldn't find it in the story to be able to bring him in, but I think that's where we'll go. We'll end up seeing Miles at some point.
Yeah.
I think Into the Spider-Verse was so popular, I think people would love to see him on the big screen now.
Mm.
So I can't say I would be disappointed if they did do that. I think we've seen enough Peter at times.
Yeah, it was just sort of like 15 years, isn't it? Or something like that, I think,
yeah.
All told.
So there's massive stories still to tell with them. I think there just is a lot of clamour for this multiverse stuff to come along.
Yeah.
So I think that might be where they head. So two more things left on the schedule. One for Disney Plus and one for the big screen. So in the autumn of 2021, fall for you US listeners, I know we've got a lot of you. More than British viewers, in fact, listeners. So fall 2021, the massively rumoured TV series, but we'd never had any confirmation from anyone. Not from Disney, not from the Star, not really from anywhere. And that's Hawkeye. I think it's time that he gets his own standalone stuff. We've been waiting a long time. For him to get his own standalone film. Of course, he made his first appearance in Phase 1 way back and still hasn't had his own solo film or TV series. So we are getting a Hawkeye TV series on Disney+. It will feature the passing of the baton to Kate Bishop. So it will likely be the final swan song for Jeremy yeah. Renner in the role. I did like the fact that they mentioned that it will show some of his time as Ronan. Which I know I mentioned when we reviewed Endgame that I was kind of disappointed at how much of
we
got. See
more. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing that bit and another introduction to another young Avenger along the way. That will be kind of up to three or four, with the introduction, of course, of Ant-Man's daughter, Stature, yeah. in Endgame. So there's a few floating around now. So I get the feeling we'll probably see that announced for Phase 5 at some point.
Yeah.
As one of the new Avengers movies, rather than just the solid main Avengers. We're going to see a few offshoots now, I think. So looking forward to that. And the one that had kind
yeah,
of been...
Yeah, because Ant-Man...
Oh. Yeah.
Sorry, you carry on.
No, it's your turn.
I was just going to say, the one that was kind of noticeably absent from any mention at all was Ant-Man. Yeah. And I have seen one or two rumours where they're reticent to actually greenlight a third one at the moment.
Yeah, it's interesting because they had... Obviously, they have been some of the lower box office, which is a shame because they're fantastic films.
Yeah, yeah, really good night out movies. Those two movies,
in the same way that Doctor Strange was.
Yeah,
and I think they were a bit reluctant to make another one of those at one point until he obviously Benedict was a breakout star of Infinity War. And I think that kind of triggered that. Whereas I thought Paul Rudd was fantastic in Endgame. So it's a real shame if they do feel that they can't press on with yeah. what you can only assume would be the third of the trilogy.
Of the trilogy, yeah. I was hoping we get at least one more Ant-Man film, yeah. certainly at some point. So,
that's a shame. But I kind of think we have to move on to the one that was actually announced in the week leading up to Comic-Con. Which was a big surprise. We didn't see it coming at all. And that is, Thor 4, Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
Released November the 5th, 2021. So the final film of Phase 4. Once again, directed by Taika Waititi. Again, starring Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson. The new queen or king of Asgard, as she's claiming to be. But not the only returning cast members. We will see the return of someone that we never in a million years saw returning permanently to the MCU.
And this is one of the mic drops that I mentioned, but not the last one.
Yeah, so Natalie Portman will be returning as Jane Foster. Not only as Jane Foster, but as the Mighty Thor. They are going to take that storyline from the comics.
Yeah.
I'm actually really intrigued to see it.
Yeah, likewise. Imagine it was worth it just to see some of the online reaction.
Yeah, exactly. We can safely say we didn't see it coming.
No.
We know she came back and recorded a few lines for Endgame. Didn't film anything new. She just went in the recording studio and recorded a couple of loop lines.
Yeah, because apparently the actual footage was cut footage wasn't it from Dark World? Yeah. I read somewhere.
Yep. So she didn't film anything. And she says she's looking forward to getting jacked to play Mighty Thor. Will be interesting she's not the biggest built lady in the world.
No, indeed. Petite.
And then it kind of came to an end. Or we thought it
or
was
so
the end.
We thought.
so they started wrapping it up and Kevin Feige was like, that's enough. That's all we've got time for today.
Have a hat.
Yep, everybody have a hat. I haven't got time to talk about Guardians 3, Black Panther 2, Fantastic
Mutants.
Four, Mutants. And then he said, let everybody have a group photo. So they took a selfie of them with the audience behind him. And then he was like, I've got one more thing. And he introduced Mahershala Ali, which was a little bit strange because obviously he'd been in Luke Cage.
Yes.
As Cottonmouth. and he came out, he'd got one of the hats in his hand. And he came up. Kevin Feige didn't say anything to him. He didn't say anything. He unfolded the hat, put it on. and it had got a different logo on it. And everybody just stops. And then it came up on the screen behind him. Blade. And everybody just went absolutely mental.
It was a great moment.
And for me, he's absolutely perfect for that role.
Oh, he's bang on casting if you see the mock-ups and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see that. It's just great to have that character back.
I mean, we don't know a lot about it. We assume it's going to be a big screen outing in Phase 5 at some point. Yeah.
That's what it seems like. I can't imagine that they'd make such a big fuss for one of the TV shows. Yeah. It doesn't...
But it also suggests they're trying to ramp up the more supernatural side of the universe as well.
Yeah.
On the back of the Doctor Strange announcement as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So... Really looking forward to that, and hopefully, as I said, we'll find out more come D23 Expo in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm sad. I had originally planned to be at D23 Expo this year, and it didn't work out. Sadly, other things took money, like buying a house a year ago. So kind of put pay to that. Sadly, I'm hoping I'll get out there at some point. In a few years, the next one's not until 2021. Just as Phase 5 will be starting.
Yeah.
So never know, I might make it out to that next one. So that really was everything from Comic-Con. Couple of things that have happened in the MCU outside of what's actually on the screen. And that was, first of all, Spider-Man Far From Home has gone past the $1 billion mark.
Yeah.
That's the first Spider-Man movie to do that. Which means after the rumours that if it didn't make $1 billion, it would revert back to Sony.
Yeah.
That's now not going to happen because it has made $1 billion. And as I said, hopefully it is that summer 2021 slot that we're waiting to see filled. That will be the third Spider-Man film. And since we were last on, we now have got the biggest movie ever in Avengers Endgame.
Mm.
Now at 2.81 billion, I believe.
Yeah.
Passing Avatar.
Crazy.
On the way.
Crazy money, isn't it?
Yeah, ridiculous. But as I said on Disaster Dark the other day, it deserves it. For the 10 years of work that they've put in at Marvel.
Yeah.
That final... Say goodbye to some of the major cast that have worked over those films for a few years. It deserves it. And I'm sure it will be knocked off at some point. Not for a while, I don't expect.
No, I think it'll sit there for a while, won't it?
But totally deserves it, and it's done something for people like me and you, who were kind of in the shadows being geeks for so long. It's now popular to be one.
Yeah. Which in some ways is kind of a bit of a stopped us doing events, ironically, to some extent. But
yeah. Yeah, it has.
Because there's just too many people.
Yeah. So you're actually going to an event tomorrow. So
I'm off to see Michael Rooker and Sean Gunn tomorrow.
Yes, and I know Rooker was on his way this morning. Posted a picture of himself on his plane.
Oh, brilliant.
As he was flying over. So I was lucky enough to, I met him a couple of years ago. And he's great. So you're in for a real treat, and he's more than happy to talk about stuff.
Brilliant.
So,
I suppose we should just briefly chat about one or two of the other mic drops that came out of the weekend of last weekend.
Yeah.
I'll get to the big one in a minute, but a couple of things I just picked out. There was a trailer for the Netflix The Witcher show.
Yes.
Which looked really intriguing, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know about it. I didn't even know that the games were based on books, never mind this show. So that was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I didn't know there was books either. I've never played the games, but I just assumed that they were just games that were made from scratch, but no, they're not. Starring
so that one's
Superman
intriguing.
Himself, and he's still claiming he is Superman. So that doesn't seem to have changed at the moment.
We also got news that there are going to be at least two more Halloween films under this new reboot comes sequel. Yep. So nobody saw that coming.
No, and they begin filming fairly shortly, I believe.
Yeah. So I'm quite interested to see how those play out, because I really enjoyed the one last year.
Yeah,
it was a pleasant surprise.
I've not seen it yet. Sure, I'll catch up with it at some point.
And we got a trailer for the next series of Westworld.
Yes.
Which I watched this afternoon, which is very, very intriguing. And because I know the second series got very odd reception and very odd storytelling. It was hard to get through at times. Hopefully this will be a little bit more streamlined in series three.
Yeah.
And of course we also got a new Watchmen trailer.
Yes, which I did actually watch because I'm looking forward to that.
And a very different feel to the movie.
Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out where is the comedian and all that.
Well, it's a sequel.
Ah, is that why it's working out?
Yeah, it's meant to be set in the future that they haven't survived.
That's interesting.
So talking of Watchmen, obviously Alan Moore retired over the weekend as well. He'll no longer be writing and drawing comic books. He's taken his leave finally. Yeah. Wrote some great Batman stories over the years as well. So that's sad to see him go.
Indeed. Yeah. And I suppose the other big thing was CBS dropped one or two bombshells.
Yeah.
Star Trek.
Yes.
First of all, I'll touch briefly on, I watched the panel for this Lower Decks show.
Yeah.
And when I first heard it announced, I just thought, really?
Yeah.
But having watched the panel, it has piqued my interest slightly.
Yeah.
In what they want to do with that show. So I probably will catch the first couple of episodes. Apparently the same guys did Rick and Morty, which I've never seen. So.
Yeah, I've never seen Rick and Morty either. I've got a few friends that swear by it.
But I should probably watch the first couple to see how it plays out and how it feels. It's very strange to think of a comedy cartoon animated show, but we should see in there. So.
Yeah.
But of course the big one they had a Discovery panel when we're still getting over the end of that show.
Yeah.
On top of that, they announced they're confirming some more shorts, but I've never seen the first lot yet, so I'll probably have to watch those.
But these ones are all based on the crew of the Enterprise.
Yeah. And along with that, I think there's three Enterprise ones and two animated ones.
Yeah.
And then the final one is a lead into Picard.
Yes.
Which of course gave us one of the other big massive mic drops of the weekend.
Yeah.
When we've got the return of not one, two, three, but maybe four previous characters that nobody saw coming.
Yep. And to see two of them included in the trailer as well.
Yes, yes. And that's, of course, at 7 and 9, or Annika, which are, and Data. We assume it's Data.
Yep.
And then the confirmation that we're going to see the return of Riker and Troy as well.
Yep. As well as him directing episodes.
Yes. And the trailer for that show that comes out to Amazon over here next year just gave me chills.
Yeah.
It just looked incredible, and the tone of it, the vibe from it, it's just everything about the trailer was right for me.
Yeah.
So I'm really psyched to that, because I struggled on and off with Discovery. It's kind of more background telly for me than it is for a lot of fans.
Yeah.
But this one, I suspect I'm going to be sitting there and watching all 8 episodes or however many is glued to the screen, I suspect.
Yeah. See, I was never a huge Trek fan, and I have watched Discovery just because it's on Netflix and it's there. I thought I'd give it a go. But growing up, I never really got into the original stuff. I was never a massive fan of Kirk and Spock. I never really watched Deep Space Nine or Voyager, but as I've mentioned to you before, I watched the Next Gen. It was always on that Wednesday night before I went to football training. So I'd watch that first and then off I'd go. So I do know these characters, and I feel like this is really a warranted follow on.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to that as well. For me, the big Comic Con news outside of the proper comic books was Joe and Silent Bob reboot.
Indeed. It did look a lot of fun, actually.
The trailer was released beforehand. Kevin said that he felt he wanted to get ahead of people, so he decided he was going to show it first. Which also gave away a couple of things. The new Bluntman and Chronic The first of what is supposedly three Batman, starring in it, is Val Kilmer as Blunt Man.
Yes.
Which I completely didn't get. He posted a picture of, like, a bit of artwork of Blunt Man and Chronic, and I had no idea who Blunt Man was at all. Whereas
so there's
Chronic,
obviously a gag in there about the recasting of him every time, yeah, or something.
Yep. The Chronic casting I had guessed, and that is someone we've already talked about tonight, is Melissa Benoist, or Benoist, depending on how you say it. She will be playing Jay's character from the first film. Obviously, the original Blunt Man and Chronic was Jason Biggs and James Vanderbeek, who are also both in the new film. Making an appearance at Chronic Con in the film. And I think the really massive news was the return of Ben Affleck.
In a real blink and you miss it.
Yeah.
Scene, wasn't it?
I listened to Kevin's panel. He actually posted it on one of his podcast feeds this week. And Ben wasn't in the original script.
Ah.
That was very, very last minute. Ben was doing press for Frontier, the TV series he did on Netflix with Jason Momoa.
Oh, yeah.
And someone asked him whether he was in it. And he said, I'm not, but I'm available. And of course, Kevin hasn't spoken to him for nigh on 10 years.
Wow.
They had a massive falling out and didn't talk to each other. And it was actually Jason Mewes' wife who's Kevin's manager, basically, who kept pushing him to contact Ben after this. And Kevin kept saying, no, I don't want to. I get the feeling he's just saying that in an interview to get past it. I could talk to him and he'd be like, no, I want nothing to do with it. And Jason's wife kept pushing him, and eventually Kevin had written out a tweet to him. And she looked at it and went, why don't you just text it to him instead of giving it to the public and letting everybody see it? And he said, oh, I haven't spoken to him for ages. The numbers I've got probably don't work. And eventually he gave in and he texted it. And said, basically, getting through the apology and everything and saying that he'd heard that he might be available. And Ben's reply was, I'm in. And Kevin went, oh shit, I've not written him anything. Because the whole storyline in the first Jay and Silent Bob is that Ben Affleck's character is the one that sends them on their journey.
That's right, yeah.
Whereas this time they'd written it for Jason Lee's character.
Ah.
For Holden. Whereas, so it kind of went to Ben and went, look, I've not written you anything. And Ben was like, well, do you want me as Ben Affleck or do you want me as my character from the previous films? And Kevin was like, look, let me write something. And he went back to him and went, I've written you as your character. And Ben went, thank God for that. Cause he wanted to play him again.
Oh, brilliant.
And he flew to New Orleans. And Kevin wasn't sure what Benny was going to get. Because he hadn't seen him for so long. And of course, since then, Ben has become a director in his own right, an Oscar winner.
Yeah.
And Kevin said he walked in and it was exactly like it was.
Wow.
20 years ago when they first started filming together. So yeah, that's my big Comic-Con news outside of the comic books.
Brilliant.
So I'm really looking forward to that. So I think that's it. We've got to more or less an hour again. That seems to be our point. Get to an hour and we're kind of done. So we will be back. The next episode will be the Netflix roundup. I promise I will be finished in the next couple of weeks. So just want to thank you guys again for listening and Tony for joining me.
No problem.
We'll be back next month. Hopefully more middle of the month again, back to our normal slot. And of course, go and check out mine and Tony's new podcast. Lucasfilm is the name of the podcast, son. All things Lucasfilm. We've only done one episode so far. We are hoping to get another one done in the next few days. We were going to do it straight after this, but we're in the middle of a heat wave here in the UK, and kind of dying from heat.
yeah.
As I said, Tony is off to a con in the morning. So, we're going to cut it for tonight and do it, later on, maybe at the end of the weekend or the beginning of next week. So we get it out this month. But go and check that first episode out. It's all about why we love Lucasfilm, and we both got very, very different stories as to why we love what George Lucas produced over the years. So go and check that one out. This podcast will be back next month. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you at the next episode.
Good night.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.